is 11 years ago, June the 25th, 2004, and I thank the Lord for it. But if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, I'll go ahead and read because of time. And in verse 4, the Bible says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Well, here in the book of Habakkuk, we see that it has a message that's relevant for the day in which we live. Here in Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk the prophet, he is said to be the Thomas of the Old Testament. He was doubting what was going on about it. We see in verse 1 that there was a burden. Said the burden that the prophet Habakkuk did see. There was a burden with what he saw was going on around him. Lamentations 3:51 says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." He saw the violence that was going on. He saw the strife and the spoiling, the rioting, and it affected his heart. There was a burden for what he saw that was going on in Judah. And there should also be a burden. We might be saddened, we might be angered with what's going on, but really, do what we see in the world today, does it really burden our heart as it burdened Habakkuk? And it should burden us. And he said, "God, are you not seeing what's going on? God, are you indifferent? Are you not seeing what's happening to Judah?" But then God, he responds in verse 5 and he says, I know exactly what's going on. I see exactly what's going on. He said that I'm not indifferent. I haven't turned my back on the cause. He says that he was going to do something wonderfully marvelous. He says, "For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." And he goes on to say that he's going to raise up the Babylonians. He's going to raise up the Chaldeans to bring about a judgment upon Judah. And then Habakkuk, he had another problem with that. He said, "Well, God, that's you're holy, you're righteous. That's inconsistent from what I know about you, that you would allow some heathen nation that's less righteous than us to come in and to judge us." Well, God, he's going to do what he pleases. He doesn't have to get my approval or your approval. The Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? His ways are higher than our ways, and he's going to judge even his people and the whole world according to his wisdom, according to his counsel." Well, and then in chapter 2, we know that Habakkuk, he had some responsibilities that the Lord gave him. He told him to write a vision down. Not only, but he was supposed to respond in faith. For we know the just shall live by faith. And then he was to reveal judgment upon even this wicked nation, Babylon. To reveal to them the five woes that were going to come against them. Well, we have similar responsibilities as Habakkuk does. God, he's not going to inspire me or you to write down a new vision. This is all we need. This is his complete inspired word for us. But he said to write it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. So the word of God that Habakkuk wrote down, that responsibility is given to us as men of God and children of God to run and to share the truth of God's message to a lost and a dying world. We are also to respond in faith in God's word and in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are also to reveal God's judgment to the lost, to the sinners, and let them know that there is coming a day whenever God will judge unrighteousness and sinfulness upon the earth. But even whenever we see these five woes here in chapter 2, God, he gives us some things to rejoice in. The prophet, he says that we shall not die. Well, God, he didn't have that in mind that his people were going to die. He says, "The just shall live by his faith." Amen. Jesus didn't come that we might just have a good life upon earth, but that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And then here in verse 14, we see that even though Babylon was going to come upon the scene and take the place of Assyria as prominent upon the earth, he says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." He says, one day the whole world is going to be filled with the majesty and the glory of God. And that's something that we can rejoice in. But even though the wicked are in control and it seems like the Babylons are rising up and taking charge, verse 20 of chapter 2 says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." We can rejoice in God's government and His power. So in chapter 3, this was reason for Habakkuk to begin to rejoice. He was doubting, but now he's rejoicing. And he says, "Lord, revive Your work." And he starts praising God for what He has done. And he recalls whenever God had delivered His people out of Egypt, taking them through the Red Sea, and he even recounts where God had stayed the sun there for Joshua and given them that victory there at Gibeon. And then here we also see a preview of God's future deliverance. In 13 of verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck." I believe he's looking forward to Cyrus, who is going to come. The Bible says that he is God's anointed that will come, that will deliver his people out of Babylonian captivity. But then if we go back to chapter 2, the Bible says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." He's saying that these things are going to come to pass. "Although it delays now, wait for it, for it will come." And this is significant for us because we are also looking for God's anointed to come back and to return. And thankfully, the writer of the Hebrews, he takes this same verse. And in verse 37 of chapter 10, the Bible says, "For yet a little while, and not it." He changes the "it" by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. "For yet a little while," the Bible says, "And he that shall come will come and will not tarry." So we're not looking for an end. We're not looking for deliverance. We're not looking for another man or another political party to take office in the White House or in the Senate. But we're looking for He. We're looking for Him. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. And then if you read the last part of chapter 3, Habakkuk, he begins to rejoice. We see that he gets his song back. We see that he glorifies God for His salvation and for His strength. And that's how we can rejoice, even in a doubtful day in which we live in. We know that the Lord's in control and that we are His, and He's coming back one day just like He said.